Well, we thank the Lord for a beautiful day. Thank the Lord he held the rain off for the Hope Valley ministry. And may tomorrow, as Dar's already prayed, may tomorrow be a productive day as well. Anyway, the flowers are beautiful, Lisa. So, they're not real. That's what I was wondering. Well, I had a friend one time. He was telling me this story, and he was doing this speaking somewhere, right? And he had a flower like that, and he went on and on how beautiful God made flowers, right? And then he realized that somebody told him it wasn't real. So. Anyway, Lisa, the thought counts. So anyway, thank you. Okay, well, let's just ask God to help us. Father, we do thank you that we are family in Christ, and we have many things to rejoice in. And thank you that when we go through hard times, we have family to lean upon as well as you. And we just pray that you will bless our time. May your Spirit work. May we honor you, please you. May our time be profitable. In Christ's name, amen. One thing I failed to mention, I wanted to mention this before the next week, but Alex and Irena have this time at their house. Alex, I've been in their house. He's a really excellent painter. And they asked just to mention they wanted to share, but really it's about, in many ways, I think it's about fellowship. Us encouraging them, just supporting them. It's a way they've opened up their home. It's obviously not for Alex to show off. That's not it at all. But I think if you have a chance next Sunday afternoon, it would be an encouragement to them just to pop in for a little bit and to see. He really is a skilled painter. The reason I make the little plug, I don't want it to be a discouraging time. I want it to be an encouraging time. So just as the Lord leads you, but I just thought I wanted to make that point. Have you ever sat across from the desk from someone, or maybe you've had them coffee with them, and they're going through a super, super hard time? And let's say they're Christian, which obviously Christians go through super hard times, and they say, "I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. I'm sure you've had contacts with people, Christians included, that are so discouraged. We live in a world that's very discouraging, right? I mean, just think of all the things that come at us. Just think of the health issues that people that we've prayed about. People can get so discouraged. I remember, you know, some of the times you visited in the hospital, especially somebody who's been there a long time, they can begin to lose heart, even as a Christian. Just think, you know, you start in this, a lot of times you get in the hospital room, and if you've been there for a while, and then you have different people coming through who are in the bed next to you, and that in itself is an adventure sometimes. You know, we need to be encouraged that no matter what we face this week, this month, this year, we can go through it with God's provision and his sufficiency. And I think we've come off really this section about an abundant life. And the question is, can we live an abundant life in a messed up world? And some Christians, I think, really struggle, because what we're, Romans is going, and we're not there tonight, but it's going to talk about suffering. And we think of some of the dear, dear Christians in our world who are exceedingly suffering. Oh, I just can't imagine some of the things they're going through. Can you have a really live the Christian life in a very tough zone? I think we have some words of help and encouragement. It's an initial intro into where it's going. But I'd like you, we're going to go back to Romans 8. And I want to look at verse 14 and through verse 16. And so I think he is giving a confirmation that we can live an abundant life in the midst of a difficult season. Verse 14, for, again, Paul just connects. He's always connecting with his thought before. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, of course, the passage just keeps on keeping on. But I want to just stop there, and I want to look at a confirmation that we can really live an abundant life in dark days. And he gives reason, a confirmation of that it is possible, it is really possible, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God. Now, all who are being led, it's a passive verb, being led. And in my understanding at this point, you know, Romans is so profound. It's so profound. In my understanding at this point, it's referring to believers, all believers, every genuine believer. The Holy Spirit, as we know, this is just one of the wonderful things about being a Christian, that he comes, he invades our life at the point of faith in Christ. And he continues to stay there, and he continues to work. Now, he leads. The Spirit of God is always trying to lead us in God's direction. Obviously, a lot of it is moral principle. He's trying to lead us in the path of good choice, of godliness, of Christ-like qualities. He's nudging us. Obviously, he uses the word. He uses conviction. All of the things that he is nudging us, always working to take us in God's direction. He indwells us, every believer. And this is one of the wonderful things in verse 9 of Hebrews 8. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And, of course, the context, every believer has the Spirit of God dwelling in them. Isn't it amazing? The sovereign God of the universe and the sovereign God as the Spirit, the Spirit of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, invades our life and stays there. Why would God do that with such frail creatures? But out of his amazing grace and his love, he does that. It's amazing. Now, he lives within us to work within us. And the point is, every believer, God is trying to direct us. But we're a stubborn lot. Remember, maybe we can say, oh, this never happened to me. But let's say you saw these other people in Walmart, right? And I heard today, in fact, we were out a little bit, and I heard this screaming, right? And I just happened to get my eyes, and it was a little dude about this tall, right? And but you ever been in Walmart, or you saw people in Walmart? Of course, it didn't happen to you. But you know, this little child, and you're trying to get from point A to point B, and they start screaming, steaming, right? And you're thinking, oh man, how am I going to get this kid out of here without being totally shamed? And they don't give up until you get to the car, and the only reason they stopped is because the door shut, right? Isn't that the way we are sometimes with the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God is trying to direct us along the very best path for our life, and we're fussing and fighting the whole way. Now, I know that's not always true, but sometimes, you know, we go through those periods of life where we're resistant, we're stubborn, we're rebellious, we're going to have our own way no matter what. But the Spirit of God works. He's always working, but of course we can grieve him. I think I'm going to read this passage in Ephesians 4:29, and it talks about very positive things that the Spirit of God is trying to direct us in, but then it shows us that we can be dragging our feet on this. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it may give grace to those who hear. How important it is. I mean, it's a side note here, but how important. And just, Mike shared this just a little bit, but being a family, how important for us to give careful words to encourage one another. You know, somebody, let's say somebody walks in the door, we've never met them. We don't know them. We go up and say hi. May God help each of us be careful with our words to encourage those people. It may be to draw them to Christ, or it may just be encouragement along their path. Some people will only come in once. They only come in once. But some people will walk in, and you know, you never know how your words might change or impact their life. And so this is part of what the Spirit of God wants us to do, to build up people. Edification means build up, to build them up. Now, but notice the Spirit of God also is guiding in verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We can fuss and fight and grieve the Spirit of God, what he wants to do. Now, the wonderful thing is, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Isn't that wonderful? We can't run the Spirit off out of our life. We just thank the Lord for his kind grace to us. But then he says this, is this is where he's trying to prevent us from grieving the Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And of course, we talked about how to do that this morning. But we can say no to those kinds of sins. And we have to work at that on a regular basis, because those sins are so normal to us, so easy for us to fall back into. And but that grieves the Spirit. But verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Now those are qualities of a person that is allowing the Spirit of God to lead them. So we have the Spirit of God within us. He wants to work in us and work through us. These, notice our passage back in our Romans 8. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. These are the individuals of God. This is, what a privilege. You, sons of God. We have tremendous advantage. Now I'm just going to read a passage. If you want to go there, but I'll read this passage. It's in Galatians 3 because it has this phrase in it. And just to show how wonderful it is to be a son of God and some of the implications of it. Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So when we trust Christ as our Savior, we become sons of God. Now, I think one of the things the world says, well, you know, this is true for everybody. Obviously, that is not true. That's not true. We have the unique privilege, an awesome, eternal privilege of being sons of God, sons and daughters of God, we could say. This is a wonderful privilege through faith in Christ. And then it goes on to say, for all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Now, we've talked a lot about in Romans and 6, we talked about being baptized by the Spirit. And of course, what we're talking here is not water baptism, we're talking Spirit baptism, where the Spirit of God places us into Christ at the moment of our initial faith in Christ. It's a wonderful thing. But we're in Him, and being in Him, we have access to all the provision we need to live life. All the provision. We have been brought into a palace, a spiritual palace of splendor and provision. We don't really know it on the front end. I understand that. But it's a wonderful thing. That's part of growing in the Christian life, is learning all these wonderful things we have. And you think, oh, I didn't know I had that, right? And God says, oh, wow, I've got even more than you've discovered yet. And so in our Christian life, He shows us some of these things. But we have everything from the very beginning because we're in Christ. It's one of my favorite passages or phrases in the whole New Testament. In Christ, clothe yourselves with Christ. Baptized into Christ, placed into Him, you're clothed with Him. We have all His provision, positionally, from God's standpoint. It's not all experiential yet. As we grow, it becomes more experiential. As a son of God in Christ, we have all that we need to live the Christian life abundantly. And that's, you know, we said that in various ways. But I think that's what we have to know. We don't always know what we have, but we need to know that we have what we need. And then that's why we begin to explore it and study. That's why we are in the Word. That's why we need to draw on the truth. So we begin to understand what God has done for us in His Son. We're in Christ. The Spirit of God has placed us into Christ. We're sons of God, sons and daughters. What a privileged position we have. Because of that, we have what we need. Can I get through this? Can I get through this illness? Can I get through this heartache? Can I get through this situation with my child? Can I do that? And God says, I'm here for you. I've got what you need. You don't know everything I have, but you have what you need. We're sons. And just think of a human father with a human son. A father who loves his kids, loves his children. You want what's best for your kids, right? You want what's best for them. We don't always know what's best, and because we're imperfect as human beings, we don't always do what's best. But God, being absolutely perfect, He's the perfect Father. And He has the perfect provision. He knows exactly what we need. And He is not a stingy Father, and He is not going to withhold from us what we need. Now, sometimes He withholds us from us what we think we need. And because He loves us, He says, no, no, no. You're not getting that, right? Kind of like your kid, you know, going through the sweet section time and time again. There's got to be a stop to this because I love you, right? But God our Father, we are sons of God, and He is our wonderful, caring Father. He, you know, you just think, somebody you love, you're looking out for their needs. What do they need? What do they need? I was just talking to Frank Pranovich, and Angela is home. And so, you know, she's still in quite a bit of pain, right? And so, but you can tell he's watching out for what she needs, right? Trying to care for her. And her daughter from the States is probably there now. And so she's going to be caring for her mother. So, and her dad, because he's having surgery on Wednesday. So it was the month of surgeries for that dear family. But if you love somebody, you're saying, what do they need? What can I get for them? What can I do for them? God is far more perfect than we are. He knows what we need, and He cares about what we need, and He provides what we need. And so he's encouraging us. Yes, we don't always know how to handle life. We don't know what to do. We don't know where we're going to go. We don't know how we're going to deal with a certain situation. But God has a way. It was wonderful, wasn't it? And most of you are, you know, in tune with this, with the Hope Valley thing and all the building and the, you know, everything. And of course, they were looking for a permit. And everything, it just seemed like it's too late to get it all done. And God just met the need at the right time. Now, part of that, I think, is the prayers of the saints. But the Father meets the need at the right time. And it's so encouraging to have to remind us of this. Now, he gives further explanation in verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. We have this wonderful position, this privileged position. You have not received, when we trusted Christ, we weren't given a spirit. The Holy Spirit was not a spirit of enslavement, of bondage. The Spirit is not the author of slavery. Interesting, I was looking at some of the words in the Romans section. It talks about being slaves. And in verse 6 of Romans 6, we would no longer be slaves to sin. Slaves to sin. And sin is always enslaving. It's always enslaving. It's fun on the front end. That's why we get into it. But it's always enslaving. In verse 19 of chapter 6 again. For just as you presented, this is in the past, before Christ, your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness. Slaves to impurity and lawlessness. The Spirit did not bring that kind of bondage. He does not cause us to be slaves to sin, to the flesh, or corruption. Now notice, that only leads, that kind of slavery only leads to fear. Reading in this portion, leading to fear again. For you have been you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again. I thought that word again, interesting. Before Christ, sin leads to fear in some measure. Now, I know we try to block it. The world tries to block it, ignore it. But how many people can't sleep at night because they're afraid? They're afraid maybe somebody will find out. They're afraid, what will be the implications of this? Sin brings fear. But the Spirit of God does not enslave us and take us back to fear if we allow the Spirit of God to lead us and work within us. It's a wonderful thing not to have to be in fear. Of course, the world is made up of fear, but leading to fear again, to the consequences of sin. I think one of the reasons, now, of course, this is kind of an unconscious thing in the majority of the world, but even though an atheist can say there is no God, there's still some, often still some fear that what if there is a God? There's fear not only what sin does to me in the moment, but what I will have to answer to the Lord for when I stand before the Lord. Even as a Christian, and 1 John brings this out in some measure, I think, is that a Christian's not going to lose your salvation. But there is a sense, if we, and it talks about this in 1 John 4, if we are unloving as Christians toward one another and toward those around us, when we stand before the Lord, we're going to have to answer for that. There's going to be a lack of reward as a result of that. And there is a sense, when I am not walking the Christian life the way God designed it to be walked, there is a fear that when I stand before the Lord, I'm going to have to answer for some of the stuff I did or some of the stuff I didn't do. And so, but living by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, we don't have to live in fear. It doesn't, the Spirit of God does not take us back to fear. Notice back in our passage, Romans 8:15 again. It says, "For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons." He received a spirit of adoption as sons. Now I want to read, because there's a lot of correlation between Romans and Galatians. This is in Galatians 4, verse 5. It just talks about this adoption as sons. Galatians 4, 5. "So that he, God, might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Because, verse 6. "Because you are sons, God has set forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Receive the adoption as sons. It's a wonderful thing. If you don't have parents, to have somebody who loves you enough to adopt you. Now, some of you know, we have a little granddaughter, and she was from Rwanda. And she was adopted into the family in Alaska. She was adopted. She's a beautiful, beautiful little girl. But she was rejected by her mother, her physical mother. And there's a lot of circumstances I won't even go into. But when our previous daughter-in-law, Hannah, who we love very, very much, went to Rwanda, they went into this orphanage where these babies were, all these babies. Rwanda was terrible for deaths of parents, and so there was lots of death. And so a lot of young girls who were not married had babies. And so you had all these little little kids that nobody, these little babies, nobody could care for or didn't want to care for. But anyway, so this little girl was one among many. But she was the one that Hannah was able to adopt. And her whole life was changed. Her whole life was changed in a very positive way. Our whole life has been changed in a very positive way when we were adopted. Rejected in the world. Right off, maybe. But adopted. And that should bring us great encouragement. It's a wonderful thing to be loved and brought into family. And notice this contrast, kind of two options, slavery or a sonship. Being outside the family, being inside the family. To be a son, or we could say a son or a daughter in the Lord's sense, is to have a status of freedom. Freedom. Now again, in this Galatians 4 passage, verse 7, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are heir through God. No longer a slave. Now, part of Galatians, a lot of the focus is to the law, which Romans 7 talked a lot about the law. And but which you're enslaved to the law, you're also enslaved to sin. And so they both kind of go hand in hand. But there's no longer enslavement. We're free. And then notice these wonderful words. Verse 15, it continues on. By which we cry out. And I appreciate what the New King James translates. By whom we cry out. The Spirit of God. We cry out because the Spirit of God's within us. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. And as you know, it's an Aramaic word. And it was used, it's like we would say daddy. You know, you think of a little child. Daddy, daddy, you know, it's pretty cool to hear your child say, daddy, daddy, you know, because it means something. It means you have a relationship, right? And so it's like, you know, one day, now, of course, I wasn't the daddy, I was a grandpa, but one day I was in a situation, and Emma, our second granddaughter here who lives in Peterborough, she came up, and she just ran up, and she gave me the big old hug, right? I have to watch my back. Wait, give me a big old hug. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing, right? She knows I love her, and she loves me. And Abba, you know, Abba. And God is like that in a far more wonderful way. Abba, Father. We run to him as our daddy. We run to him because we know we can trust him. We know he loves us. He cares for us. And Abba, Father. This intimacy, I think that's one of the wonderful, wonderful things, is intimacy that we can have with God because of our relationship through Christ and the Spirit of God dwelling within us. It's, you know, it's a wonderful thing to have a godly earthly father. And some have had the privilege of that. But it's even a more wonderful thing to have a God as our heavenly father, the perfect father. All of us human beings are imperfect at best. And there's never been a perfect father after Adam fell. But we have the perfect heavenly Father. And the Spirit, notice again, we look at our passage, the Spirit has not made us slaves. For all have been led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. For you have been not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption. As sons or daughters, we could say, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. You know, I was thinking about this thing with Abba, Father, and your relationship. You see, when you're a little child, and if you can trust your dad, he's proven himself trustworthy. You run to him when you're in trouble, when you're in need, when you don't know what to do, or maybe when you're scared. Remember times you were a little kid and you're just scared and you run to your father, right? If you could trust your father. Now, you know, my heart was so broken, and I was looking at a recent documentary on sex trafficking and how really young children are caught up in sex trafficking. It's so heartbreaking. I just can't believe what I see and hear. It just, but one of the common denominators with a lot of these, and they get enslaved early. One of the common denominators among many of them is that they have no father, healthy father role in their life. So they're susceptible, they're vulnerable to people who entice them, making them think they can trust this person when they can't. But we can trust absolutely perfectly our Heavenly Father. We run to Him. And just think of the times in your life when you've had a crisis. And really, nobody else could maybe even understand what you were going through. I mean, people loved you and cared about you, and they wanted to help. I'm reading a little book right now on grief. But a lot of times, you know, let's say somebody loses a loved one. You know, we can't totally understand how they feel, the pain they feel. We're not them, right? But God knows. We can run to Him. We can run to Him. Say, God, I don't know what to do in this mess. And God's saying, I'm here for you. I got all this provision for you. I'm gonna unfold it as time goes along. Just stay tight with me. Stay close to me. Be intimate with me. And I will get you through this. The wonderful Father we have. What a wonderful, that we can say, Abba, Father, because we all need Him in our times as we go through life. Now, the Spirit has not made us slaves but sons. We call out, Abba, Father, in intimacy with Him. Notice verse 16. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. So we think of Abba, Father, we think of the intimacy. One of the things I should bring out about the sonship of the Son of sons of God, in many ways, that shows status. We have, it's a wonderful thing, in this adoption thing, in that day, in that time, in the biblical time, if a person was adopted into, let's say, a Roman family, they would be brought in, and they would have the equal status of a child who was born into that family. They would have all these immediate benefits. So sonship says we have all these benefits, but children implies intimacy. So we not only have a rich father with lots of benefits, but we have a father who will hug us when life hurts. He cares about us. And so these wonderful things, God is trying to encourage you. You can still live an abundant life when life is not working. Notice what it says again in verse 16. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Now the word testifies with our spirit, and that's probably a good translation. It has the idea of, the front letters of that word are S-U-N or S-U-M sometimes, but with, the idea with. And so the Spirit testifies with our human spirit. There's two testimonies. One writes of this. It speaks of two witnesses, the Holy Spirit and the human spirit, in keeping with the Old Testament principle that all matters must be verified by a minimum of two witnesses. So we think of this passage again. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. This dual testimony. This is absolutely to be trusted. This is God's testimony and the testimony that we have. We are children of God. We have legal status, a legal standing as sons, all the privileges. We have what we need. And because we also are children of God, we have the loving status. We are loved. We are cared about. God wants the very best for us. The abundant life is a real possibility because of the privileges we have as sons, daughters, and children. And I think he gives this because he knows as we move into this passage, as we move on into this section, we're going to have to deal, he's preparing us for trouble. I mean, we even in our culture, we see the clouds, right? We see the clouds building. But we don't know You know, I'd just be more than happy if the rapture had come. I think that'd be a pretty nice way out of here. Right? But if it doesn't, if that's not the Lord's thing right now, whatever comes our way, we have the provision to deal with it, go through it, and still live a life that's abundant in His provision. Because He is our Father. He is our Father. I say this, and sometimes you think personal illustrations, they probably, you know, bore you to tears, but one, as some of you know, I've had a lot of problems with my ears. But it started when I was a little kid, and I started having earaches early on. And oh, I remember, even as a little kid, I remember the pain, you know. And one thing I would say, and my mom reminded me of this later, but she said, when my ears were really hurting, and they didn't have all the stuff we have now, you know, to kind of ease the pain, but what would ease my pain is when Dad would be home, I would crawl up on his lap and I would say, Daddy's arm, Daddy's arm, Daddy's arm. And I would just lay my aching ear on his shoulder, and it would at least give some comfort. I just thought it was one of those comforts. And you know what? When we're going through a life that's hard and painful and we're hurting, we can just lay on our Father's arm and rest in His care. Because He has everything we need to get through wherever we're going, wherever God wants us to travel. He's sufficient for our journey. He's made us sons. He's made us children of God. And He is Abba, Father. We have it wonderful in Him. Let's pray. God, we thank You so much for who You are. A sovereign of the universe, but yet a Father for Your children. We don't know where this week goes. We have so many things to be thankful for, but we also know there's some dear Christians who are having a tough week, a tough month, a tough year. But we thank You that we have a wonderful Father. So we rest in our Daddy, the God, the Sovereign of the universe, but the One who is close to us. We rest ourselves upon Him. In the name of our Savior, amen.